And to continue talking a little bit about what we started off the year with, a year of blessing, and as we are hoping that we will be a channel of blessing to the people around us and how to do that. We're going to look at some of the ways of how to be blessings to others in their lives over the next several weeks. And just going to go back to this passage in number 6, where Moses was told how to put the name of God upon the people, how they would be identified with God. And in verse 22, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel, and you shall say to them, the Lord, or Yahweh, bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine on you, and Yahweh be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So shall they invoke or put my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." There would be identified as God's people directly through the blessing that God would place upon them. Blessings of protection, blessings of peace, blessings of grace and mercy, and all of the things that would come from God's face being turned in a very positive, gracious, merciful, loving way toward them as his people. And they in turn originally were intended to be the vehicles through which God's love would be manifested to the world. They would be the people through which the world would find out who God is and what God is like. Now, of course, we know along the way they got off track, messed all of that up, and God didn't have to go to plan B. Always it was his purpose for him to come as a man and redeem humanity to himself. But nonetheless, Israel was to be a people who reflected the nature and character of God, and a lot of that had to do directly with their being blessed to be a blessing. And as we talked about, we are blessed to be blessings to the world. We went over some of these things several weeks ago when we were talking about the whole idea of blessing. Blessing is a biblical principle. We saw all through the Old Testament how God blessed his people, how fathers blessed their children, and how they imparted blessing to them. And that was the great longing and desire, especially of the sons, to receive the blessing of the Father. We saw in the New Testament how blessing is important, and God has imparted spiritual blessings to us, material blessings to us, physical blessings, all the things that we need pertaining to life and godliness in Christ. We looked at the fact that blessing means to speak well of someone. It means to treat them well, to eulogize them in word and in deed, and that we have been given the gracious opportunity to do that, that God himself shows his love to us by means of blessing us. That is one of the ways and means by which he is able to show his love to us, is through the blessings that he imparts to us. And that genuine blessing flows from people who know who they are and why they're here. They understand their purpose in this life. They understand why God created them, why God made them, and why they are here in order to be able to impart and pass on the blessings of God. One of the things we talked about, though, was the fact that the human soul has a definite hunger. It's created with that. And that we have been given the privilege to give whole, healthy, emotional food to the souls around us. And we looked at 7 different words that all started with an A, and I want to spend some time on those this morning. And that how we can begin to implement these things into our lives on a daily basis with the people that we relate to, the people that God brings across our paths. They all started with an A. And all of us remember when we were growing up in school, one of the chief goals in the classroom was we all wanted to make what? Straight A's. I mean, not just a few. We wanted straight A's. And certain, depending on the kind of parents you had, sometimes the parents demanded that you come home with straight A's. Don't come home with a B. Don't come home with an A minus even sometimes. I want straight A's on that report card. Because they wanted to see that you were putting forth some sort of effort. And of course, everybody's wired differently. Everybody's not going to make straight A's. Everybody's not good at book learning. A lot of people can learn facts and remember them and spout them on a test, but they don't have a lot of skill in practical living. Other people are very good at practical living, but they're just not great at taking, book knowledge and being able to remember facts and figures and all of that. Give them something practical to do, and it's no problem for them. Doesn't mean they're dumb or they're stupid or they're damaged goods or anything like that. It just means that that's just the way God has wired them. But straight A's was the big thing, you know. Didn't you always hate to sit next to the people that made straight A's? Especially if you didn't. Because you felt like you were always being compared to them, especially if your parents knew their parents and they talked about the kids' report cards. You know what, you know, so she brought home her report card, and usually it was always a she. You ever notice that? She got straight A's. What did your son get? You know. And I always used to hate, when I was growing up, in elementary school, you guys probably remember this. We only didn't have the ABC and all that stuff system. We had the S and the S plus. Satisfactory. Or really satisfactory. And you know, you were really wanting to do good, and I love to get the S pluses. I like that. You know, if you were good on attendance and you were good at PE and you were good at certain things, they would put that little satisfactory thing on there and it made you feel real good. But then sometimes they would put the unsatisfactory on there. And boy, that would destroy. I saw it destroy some kids' lives sitting there when they'd see that U on their report card. A's. We all felt good if we were ever make that. I mean, we did feel pretty good. We'd walk around. You always knew the kids that made straight A's anyway, with the air and the attitude they walked around the halls with in school. You knew it. And they weren't hesitant to let you know that they made straight A's. But the fact is, every one of us, if we could have, would have loved to have made straight A's. Would have loved to have come out with perfect scores every time. Because that was something we were given as a standard and that we longed for. Well, here's the thing. Our soul needs that spiritual and emotional food to be fed to it. And we have the ability, we as human beings have the ability to give straight A's to other people. We have the ability to make them feel and experience the love of God by means of the words that we speak to them and the things that we're able to do for them in service to them. We're able to give them straight A's. And it's something that I hope that you will begin to implement into your own life. Maybe you already have, but it'll begin to be more of a conscious thing that you have been given the privilege to be the vehicle of God through which blessing can come to someone else by means of the words that you speak to them or the deeds that you carry out towards them. First one on that, as we talked about a few weeks ago, was this word. And it's this word, appreciation. Very, very, very important. Every single person in this room needs to know that they are appreciated. Where was a study that was done several years ago across the labor force in the United States, and the number one complaint of people in the workforce concerning the people that were over them and their jobs was not their pay. The number one complaint that was given had to do with the fact that they were not appreciated by their employers. They were made to feel or never given any kind of affirmation, any kind of appreciative gesture from their employer. Nothing ever giving them the idea that they're doing a good job and that their job is appreciated. And that was the number one complaint. When you appreciate someone, you take the time to speak well to them. You take the time to treat them well. When someone is not shown appreciation, one of the things that happens, and we've all experienced this, is when you're not shown appreciation, you begin to question your own personal value and worth. If you're on a job and you're trying your best to do a good job and the employer never acknowledges the fact and lets you know that they appreciate what you're doing, you begin to question whether or not, am I doing a good job? Is what I'm doing making any difference? Are they happy with what I'm doing? Am I of any value or any worth to these people? You would be amazed at how often just a simple thank you would make a difference in someone's life. Just a simple two-letter word, two words. Thank you. I've had a long night. Thank you is all it would be to make a difference in somebody's life. Saying thank you feeds people's soul in such a way that other people delight in doing what they're doing. I was reading a story about a husband and wife who were always seeming to be in conflict. And the husband decided he was going to get his act together. And he began to simply do this for all the gestures that his wife was doing, whether it was washing the dishes, whether it was cooking supper, whether it was cleaning the house, whether it was ironing his clothes, whatever she was doing, he began to intentionally set out to say, thank you. Thank you. She began to notice this. She didn't know what had happened to him. Because before, he had not acknowledged anything. He took it all for granted. She did not feel appreciated. Well, that in turn caused her attitude toward him, which had begun to become hardened and bitter toward him because of his lack of appreciation toward her. And everything that she was doing was a drudgery on her part, she felt like. She was getting no joy out of it. Now all of a sudden, her husband is acknowledging her and he's appreciating her. Now the joy was being restored back into the things that she was doing. And she was no longer seeing those things as chores or as a job that she was having to do. But it began to be a delight for her to do those things for him because he was acknowledging and giving to her a simple word of appreciation. Thank you. We can give that to people every day, and we all want that. We all long for that. We all need it. Now, every one of these things that we're going to talk about this morning, God does these things for us. He acknowledges and He practices this with us. When we talk about appreciation, we know that there is coming a time where God is going to speak to us, well done, good and faithful servant. God will acknowledge and appreciate the labors that we have participated in His name, representing Him, things that we were doing to honor and glorify Him out of a love in our heart for Him and for other people. He is going to show appreciation. In fact, His appreciation is going to go to the extent, not only is He going to acknowledge it publicly before all of creation, but He's going to reward us for it. So God demonstrates and shows appreciation to us as His children. The second thing that we talked about was this. Not only appreciation, but acceptance. Every single one of us in this room want to be accepted. There are a lot of people who spend their lives living, trying to earn the acceptance of others. Sometimes it's kids trying to earn the acceptance of their parents. Sometimes it's people trying to earn the acceptance of certain groups of friends, whether it's at school or on the job. We will do anything sometimes to gain acceptance by people that we deem as being important and that we feel like we need to be accepted by. To be accepted is to be received. It's to be welcomed. It's to be determined to be, you're adequate, you're suitable, to be a part, you're wanted. You ever, when you were growing up, there in school, and you used to go out on the playground and you split up to play games and you had to pick teams. And you always noticed there were certain kids that were never going to get picked first. And there was always several of them that you just knew when they got in the lineup, oh, we know they're going to be last. I mean, and if you had the opportunity to pick, you weren't going to pick them because you deemed them to be a weak link in the chain. You knew that they would be a hindrance and not a help to your team. So, hey, if we can keep pawning them off, maybe the other team will get them and we ain't got to worry about it. So many times, even in simple things like that, we're communicating to someone, you're not worthy enough to be a part of us. You're weak. You're not adequate. You're not suitable. You're not welcome. You're not going to be received. And see, the opposite of acceptance is what? Rejection. You're rejected. And rejection says to somebody, I'm not good enough. I have no value. I am not worthy. And they begin to see themselves in that light. Then a lot of times people have opposite reactions sometimes to rejection. Sometimes they react to rejection by going overboard to try to gain acceptance and prove themselves. Workaholics a lot of times are that way. You think they really see themselves as something like, wow, like God's gift to the world. But in reality, a lot of times they're just striving to try to earn somebody's acceptance. And they are working, trying to do it. You watch kids trying to earn parents' acceptance who've communicated rejection to their kids. These kids are doing everything they humanly know possible just to simply get communicated from a mother or a father that they are of value to them, that they are loved by them, that they are accepted by them, and they're striving and working hard to try to please them. They either go overboard doing that, or they go in the other direction and go into depressed states. They get depressed. They get down. They're always putting themselves down. They're never good enough. And they're always, you know, stumbling through life with this wound, as it were, that they never seem to be able to get healed. And of course, they transfer all of that over into their view of God. In any old religious system, but their view of God, and that they're never good enough, and they always got to be striving and trying to earn the acceptance and the value and the worth in the eyes of whatever deity they're worshiping. Most human beings will live their lives trying to get accepted, trying to fit in. A lot of times when you go to the mall, you watch, especially kids and young adults, the clothes that they're buying, a lot of times it's not clothes that they personally like themselves. They're buying things that they think are going to make them be able to fit in with the group they want to fit in with. Go to an athletic store. You watch kids buy tennis shoes. Oh, the newest, greatest thing is going to make them feel a part because they want to get accepted. The cars that people drive. Sometimes the places where they live. The houses that they choose to live in. It's driven by this need to be accepted by others. And we want to feel that acceptance by others. In fact, we will even embrace and express certain religious beliefs in order to be accepted. We'll embrace things that don't make a lot of sense. You know, we'll add to and because this idea that we've got to do certain things to be accepted by God. And you can name any religion, and we've got the long list of things that we've got to do in order to be able to be accepted by God. Then we'll jump through whatever hoops we have to jump through to get accepted by God, because we want that. We want to feel like we're there, and that He sees value in us, and that we're worth, and that we're a part, and that we really are in. And we've performed good enough to earn His favor. That's what law was all about. Do this and you'll live. Do this and you're in. Of course, nobody could do it. But the fact is, that's the mentality that religion always carries with it. And a lot of times we carry that same thing even after we hear about God's acceptance of us in Christ and what He's done for us in Christ. We will come and say, oh yeah, I trust that. And then we jump back on the bandwagon of performance. I'm going to pray enough. I'm going to study my Bible enough. I'm going to go to church enough. I'm going to try to do enough good things every day to order to maintain my acceptance with God. And if I ever do things wrong, then I've got to go back and jump through the hoops of confessing all my sins, repenting of all of my sins, going back and saying I'm going to try harder and do better. And I'm not going to go back and do that anymore. I promise, God. I promise. Because I feel like we're like that hamster on the wheel. We just got to keep that. This is turning over and over and over again. And we're trying to earn the acceptance of the Father. We don't have to do that because it's already been done for us. But acceptance is something that we can communicate to people through the words that we speak to them and the actions that we show toward them. Paul tells us in Romans 15:7, he says, receive or accept one another just as God has received or accepted you in Christ. He says, God practices this thing of acceptance. You're accepted. You're in. It's all okay. You don't have anything to prove. You don't have to try to earn anything from Father. You're in. It's all good for you now. And he says, guess what? That same attitude of acceptance that you have received from Father in Christ Jesus, you receive each other that same way. Treat each other that same way. God demonstrates His acceptance toward us again by the things that He says about us and by the way that He treats us. He lets us know we're in and it's all good for us. So we can give people, we can give to them appreciation, the thank yous and the things that they need. We can give to them and feed them that need that they all have, we all have for acceptance in the words and the deeds that we speak to them. And then the third one is this. Approval. Approval. Now, approval goes one step further than acceptance. What approval does is not only are we saying you're in, but we are saying to the person, you are good. You are acceptable as a person. Not just that you're in, but I want to acknowledge the fact that you're approved by me. That you are acceptable and you are good. It says that, yes, you are received. And acceptance says you're received, but approval says you are valued. You're significant. You mean something. And it does a lot, again, to how we see ourselves. It affects how we see ourselves and how we view ourselves, whether or not we feel like people approve of what we're doing and who we are. Again, children, you watch, all of us as kids, when we were growing up, what were we trying to do with our parents? Get their what? Approval. Even when we made choices in life, as we got older, one of the first things our thoughts would be, what are my parents going to think about this? What are they going to say about this decision that I'm making? Why? Because we want their approval. We want them to acknowledge that to us. I mean, when we got married, you go to the father, you know, of the bride, and you go to your fiance's father, and you say, "May I marry your daughter?" Why? You want their approval. Really, you're wanting their blessing. You're going because you're seeking that. And all of us, again, we seek the approval of other people. We long for that, and we long to know not only are we in and receive, but we long to know we are something and we are valued highly. And we need to have that acknowledged to us. Paul said in Ephesians 1:6, what God has made us in Christ accepted in the beloved. That we are accepted in Him, not only from the standpoint of acceptance here, but we've been approved by God. He also spends a good deal of time in Romans chapter 5 talking about a very important doctrine that we call in the church justification, which means God approves of you. You are by Christ, in Christ, 100% perfect in His eyes, without spot and without blemish. You have value. You are important. You are significant. So significant that He died in order to have that relationship with you, in order to be able to place you in that union, in that state of perfection before Him. God, again, practices that. He has made us approved. He has made us accepted. He appreciates and will acknowledge that appreciation from His standpoint to us. One day before all of creation. That's hard for us to wrap our minds around, isn't it? To think that the Son of the Most High God, who created the whole universe, is one day going to look at you and look at me and say, thank you for what you did. Thank you. He's going to acknowledge that. Wow, what a time, man. How are you going to feel when you hear those words coming from God Himself towards you? Appreciate it. Fourth one is not only the fact that we're approved and accepted, but then there's this one. Affection. Every single one of us long to be loved and to feel that. We hunger for it. One of the deepest desires in the human soul is the desire to be loved and to know that. And not just loved because of what you can do for someone, but loved at the deepest core of our being for who we are. Simply for who we are. Not because of what we have done. Affection gives us an opportunity to show love to someone else. We can communicate that to them, whether it be through a touch, whether it be through a word that you say to them, whether it be through an action or even an attitude in the way that you treat them, you can communicate love and affection to them. It's said, never got to really find the study that showed it, but I was reading about this. It says that everybody needs at least 5 hugs a day to be normal. 5 hugs. We need to feel the embrace of someone else. We need to know that we're important. Again, it may just be an arm around us, but again, and what when you a little child, when they're growing up, when they are little, one of the biggest actions that they demonstrate is this need for love by doing what? Reaching out. They want to be held. That longing never leaves us. That longing never leaves us. We all need to know that we are loved. And we have the ability to show that to others. And again, when we're talking about all this stuff, it's not just thinking about the world out there that needs to know it. It's the people that you live with 5-7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's the husbands, the wives, the children, the moms, the dads, the mothers, the fathers, the brothers, the sisters. It's those that are close around you. That's the people that you need to start practicing this stuff with. Because that's the people that know you the best and you know the best as well. It's easy to sometimes show these things to people that you have no real connection to out there a lot of times. But the people that know you and the people that you rub elbows with and that rub you wrong sometimes it's difficult to show these things and be able to impart blessing to them. That's where it needs to start. And it shouldn't start from the standpoint of, well, I'll start doing it when they start treating me that way. Then work that way. Just like Jesus said, you treat other people the way you want them to treat you. You be the initiator. You start it. Imparting that love and that affection to them. Again, God so loved the world that He gave. He demonstrated it. He gave us His Son. He didn't just say, I love you. He did something. He took an action to show it. Paul said in Romans 5 that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, His enemies, Christ died for us. When we hated Him and didn't want anything to do with Him, He demonstrated His love for us by dying for us. He knew that we needed to be shown affection. Not just told it, but shown it. And it was communicated through us through that wonderful act of the cross. We have the ability to see and to give that affection to others around us. Some people have a very difficult time. Very difficult time. A lot of times culture will affect it. I remember when our kids were real little, we had a couple of friends of ours that were from England. And Brian was brought up in a very, you know, typical English fashion. I mean, there was the tea in the afternoon. It was very, very formal. Everything was very formal. Brian sat around in his house when he was at home in a shirt and tie. I mean, that was just the way they dressed. And I remember they came to the United States to see us one time, and our girls were real little, and I think it was Rachel ran up to hug him. He froze like a statue. He didn't know what to do with that. He didn't know, I could just see it. He didn't know what to do with his hands or his arms. He didn't know, should he hug her? I mean, it was literally like watching Frankenstein, you know, do that. I mean, what do I do here? He didn't know how to do that. But then I know Brian's background. And because of his cultural and his upbringing, his family did not show a lot of emotion or affection at all. That was hard for them to understand. Even though there's that desperate need, now I knew his kids longed for that. Longed for that. So God says, look, you have the ability to feed people these soul foods that are there needed. Appreciation, acceptance, approval. You can give them affection and the love that they need. And then the next one is this. Attention. We all want attention. What are little kids are always constantly doing? Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look what I can do. We're striving to get the attention sometimes of our parents and giving someone attention. It says, look at me. Focus on me. Notice me. I know people standing in a crowded room that feel absolutely by themselves because nobody notices them. They don't feel like anybody even knows they're there. And again, that communicates to them, I'm not worthy, I'm not accepted, I'm not in, I'm not approved, I'm not a part. Something's wrong with me. We all long for and want attention. And again, we spend a lot of our times in our lives trying to get attention from other people. When you were in school, do you remember? I'm not talking to you guys that are in school. You know this to be a fact. Some of these old timers that used to be in school. But when you girls wanted to get the attention of certain guys, they would do certain things, say certain things, act certain ways. They would get their friends to come talk to you. Or guys trying to get the attention of some girl. Again, they would go through whatever hoops they needed to try to go through to get her attention. And it's in every human relationship. We long for the attention of other people. Sometimes people that perform in Hollywood, one of the main reasons why they're on the screen is because they long for the attention. They like the attention that people give to them and acknowledge them to be very skilled in their craft. Every one of us long for attention. Even religion tells us sometimes there's hoops that you have to jump through to get the attention of God. God's not really paying a whole lot of attention to you unless. Now, people start going through struggles in their lives, and they're going through difficulties. One of the first things that they immediately begin to calculate in their mind is, what have I done wrong against God? Where have I failed Him? Because all these bad things and difficulties are happening to me, so I must have gone wrong somewhere. God's not paying attention to me like He used to, so I need to get back in and find out, what do I need to do to get God's attention? And religion will have a good long list. Well, you need to repent of this. You need to fast. You need to pray. You need to go on a 2-week retreat. You need to go to this conference. You need to go hear this preacher. You need to read your Bible more. You need to give more money. Whatever. And then God will start paying attention to you. Basically saying, then God will start blessing you again. And so people jump through whatever hoops they have to get God's attention. Well, they don't realize that God always listens to us. The scripture tells us His eyes are always on us. He is always present with us. Listen, you individually have His undivided attention 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's never turning His attention away from you to be busy working over here in this other galaxy because He's got stuff going on over there. And you got to scream real loud in prayer to get His attention again and come back and focus back on you. You are in Him. He is in you. He's not going anywhere. You have His full, undivided attention all of the time because He understands we need that attention. And he wants us to believe that, that it's there. So again, we have the opportunity to give people appreciation, acceptance, approval, affection. Give them our attention. Now again, husbands are probably the worst at this. You ever sitting in front of the television and your wife's talking to me and you're just saying, yeah, right. And then she said, what do I just say? And then you're caught. You weren't listening to me. You weren't giving me any attention. And a lot of times, my wife, we've discussed this before, most women, and I'm not saying all women this way, but a lot of times when a woman will come out and say, honey, how do I look? They're asking for a lot more than just, hey, you look good, all right. And a lot of most times, that's the guy, oh, you look fine. But what they're really deeply wanting to know, am I to you beautiful? Am I appreciated by you? Am I accepted by you? Am I approved by you? Do you love me? Do you notice me? Do you notice me? We have the ability to give people those precious things, the attention that they so long for. Then another one, affirmation. Affirming someone. You say, well, a lot of these are similar. Yeah, they're all interconnected in a lot of different ways. We have the ability to give people affirmation. To affirm someone, you're giving them emotional support. You're giving them encouragement. What you're doing in affirmation is you're declaring something that is true about that person. You are declaring to them, really, their value to you when you affirm them. You did a great job on that table. You have a beautiful smile. You have beautiful eyes. You have a great personality. You are a kind person. You are a good friend. You are a good son, a good daughter, a good wife. You are, you have, you did. You see what it's doing? It's saying something about value of them as an individual. You're affirming that to them. And again, it's just by simply speaking that to them. And then demonstrating that sometimes through the actions that you take. What does God do? God practices the same thing. God says to His Son, you are my beloved Son. He affirmed Him. God affirms us. You are a saint. You are righteous. You are my child. You are my heir. You are accepted. You are all the way through the New Testament. You are. He is affirming us because He knows that we need that to again see our essential value and worth to Him because our soul longs for it. We have the ability to affirm other people. And then the last one is this. Admiration. We can admire people and give them admiration. When you give admiration to someone, you're expressing to them your sincere esteem. You're looking at someone literally with great pleasure, with pleasurable contemplation, that it brings you pleasure to observe them, to be with them. And you admire them. You're regarding someone as impressive. Someone as special and worthy and that has approval. How can we admire people? One of the simplest ways is through simply giving them a compliment. Just a simple compliment. That's it. Now, a lot of people, you know, you've heard this saying about, you know, people using this admiration in a deceitful way to manipulate and to control, to get people into positions where they can be used and manipulated. Why? Why does that happen? Because our soul is so longing for that admiration from other people, we fall right into that trap. Somebody starts showing us that admiration and our value and our worth, and they start complimenting us, sweet talking us and all that, and we just melt right into that situation. And then before long, we realize we're knee deep into some real trouble. We got manipulated into something by smooth talking words. Proverbs talks a lot about that, and the deceitfulness of the tongue and the manipulation of the smooth words that people can speak. I'm not talking about using deceitful compliments. I'm talking about speaking truth in loving ways to affirm and to admire people. Again, God does that. He lets us know that we are His beloved children. Not just His children, but His beloved children. The Scripture even tells us in the Old Testament that God sings a song of love over His people. He is singing over you. That's how happy you make Him. That's how much He admires and values you as His child. You are worth something to Him. And He wants us to communicate all of these things that He communicates to us. He wants us, who are blessed with these things, to be blessings to the world. To demonstrate to them His love. Because as we said last week, all of these things, all of the ways that God blesses us are expressions of His love to us and how He feels in His heart toward you and toward me. But here's the problem. We don't see people the way God sees them. You take this little Nerf ball here, and you think and imagine this Nerf ball is my life and your life. We look at ourselves and we know there are crinks, places that are twisted and gnarled, things that don't look great, that don't look complete and whole. And a lot of times, not only do we view ourselves this way, and there's holes and there's all kind of issues and problems and brokenness and hardships and behaviors that we're just ashamed of, things that we just know, we look in the mirror, we just don't feel too good about ourselves. We know us, and other people see those same things, and we look at each other through this lens. And we see our lives in this fashion. But we forget that's our grip on our life. But we forget there's somebody else who's above that, that has a grip on our life. And in that grip, in His hand, that ball is perfectly round and whole. It's all fixed. There's no gnarls. There's no twists. There's no bad spots. It's not viewed that way. It is all reconciled in His hand already. Not just my life, but the life of every human being on this planet. It's fixed in Him. But you see, when we look at each other like this, we have a hard time giving these things from ourselves to others, and not only that, to give them to others, because we don't feel like they deserve them. But if we view life as it truly is in the grip of the true hand, everything has been reconciled, it's been fixed, everybody then has value around us. And we begin to see them the way that God wants us to see them. Everybody was included in that work. But you see, in this situation here, there's a problem. But there's not anything you and I can do about it. But there are two things that we need to stop doing. First one is this: unbelief. Stop unbelieving. And secondly, let go of the grip of your life. Take your hand off of it. It's in His hands already. And it's all reconciled. The only thing that's standing between the world and people living and understanding this truth is unbelief and their tight grip on their life. Let it go. Somebody else has got it well in hand. It's all fixed. Even the stuff you hadn't blown up yet, even the stuff you hadn't made a mess of yet that you may make a mess of in 10 years, it's already all fixed. It's all been reconciled once and for all in Christ. He's fixed it. Now believe that. Start living that way. That's freedom. That's joy. That's party. That's celebration. That's rest. That's freedom to be able to start treating other people the same way. That's freedom to accept these things from Father and know that they are true about you and give them away to other people all around you. That's freedom to do that. It's all been taken care of in Him. But here's your homework. This week, think about who in your life right now needs some of these. And commit. Don't do it in a legalistic way, but just commit to be sensitive, to try to give away some of these things to that one or two people in your life that you know need these things right now. And remember, as we talked about, what you sow, you reap. You bless, and you will be blessed. And then try it each day. Think about, man, hey, you know, today I think I'm going to focus a little bit on this affirmation thing or on the acceptance thing or whatever like that. And just over the next 7 days, try to take these seven characteristics, these seven soul foods, and feed them to people. Go with the flow of your life. God will, listen, when you're committed to doing this stuff, you will be amazed at how many people God will bring across your path who need one of these. There's people sitting in here right now before they walk out that door this morning need one of these. Desperately. They may not acknowledge it. They may look on the outside like they've got it all together. But they're dying on the inside for one or two or several of these. And you may be the person that God wants to give it to them through. I was talking to somebody this week that was like, I wish God would just show up. God would just show up. And a lot of times we don't realize He is right around you and you don't even realize it. He's standing right beside you in the nurse that's giving the care to your loved one. He's standing beside you in the guy that's sitting in the chair who's not saying a whole lot, but He's just present to be there because He's your friend. He's there through the little card or the note that you got that says, we are thinking about you and praying for you. He's all around you. You're looking for something that we're missing, the simplicity of Father revealing Himself. You're looking for some magic, miraculous, you know, burning bush experience of God when God is in the simple things all around you through people. That's the only way He's going to come is through other people. Through you and me. That's how the world's going to get introduced to Him and to His love. And to the fact that it's all okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the love that you have and for making everything all right. And help us to be doers of your word, not just hearers only, to carry out the wonderful honor and privilege of feeding the souls of others with the desperate, desperate longings that they have. With these precious gifts that you've given to us. Thank you for loving us like that. Just help us to be sensitive as we go out this week to the people around us and to the needs that are there. And as they cross our paths, to be your mouth, your arms, your hands, your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.